Well, today we are starting a brand new series called Free Indeed. Say, Free Indeed. We're going to be going through the book of Galatians. So every single Sunday through the month, through the whole summer, I want to encourage you to get your Bibles and study Galatians. It's a deep, deep book. There's lots of great things that we're going to be talking about. And I just love this study. I've already been going through it. And this is really a series about freedom. The reason I'm really passionate about this is because I know that there are a lot of Christians who are not free. I'm going to say that again. There are a lot of Christians who are not free. And yet, Jesus said in John chapter 8, that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So what that tells us is there's a disconnect between what God offers and where a lot of people live their lives. Unfortunately, many Christians. And my prayer for every single person here is that you would be free indeed. And the good news is we're not the first ones and the first generation of churches to struggle with freedom. In fact, that is exactly what Paul is addressing in Galatians. You see, Galatians is not just one church. It's actually a region in Turkey. And they are, well, modern day Turkey now, but it was Galatians. And they were at one time, Paul planted this church in the book of Acts. You can see it in chapter 12 through 14. He planted this church and they were doing so well. They were so free, but they walked away from their freedom. And today it's really a warning, but also a call for every single person here in this room to find and experience freedom found only in Christ. Is anybody else excited about freedom? Yeah. I knew you were. So just to give you a little bit of context, Paul writes this about between 47 and 50 AD. So that's after the death and resurrection of Christ. And again, this is to a church that he loves. He's been a part of this. And it's such a funny way that he writes it because he kind of sets people up. Like the first part of this verse you're going to see in a second, it's kind of like a compliment. It feels like a reel, like on Instagram when you're going through, it's like the first 15 seconds are awesome. And if you close the book too soon, you'd be thinking you're doing great. But I want to read it for you. It says this, "This letter is from Paul, an apostle. I was not appointed by any group of people or any human authority, but by Jesus Christ himself and by God the Father who raised Jesus from the dead." So who is Paul saying that gave him the authority? It was God. It was Jesus. It was not man. He was not anointed or called by any human, but by God. And he says, "All the brothers and sisters here join me in sending this letter to the churches of Galatia." So again, this is not just one church. This is many churches in the region of Galatia. And he says this, "May God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace." Now, that word grace in the Greek is the word charis. And it means unmerited favor of God. And when you think of charis in the Greek, the connotation is like a joy or like a kiss. Oftentimes when they greet each other, have you ever heard the Bible say, greet one another with a holy kiss? That's what Paul's doing. That's how much love and affection he has for them. He's greeting them with a kiss. Now turn to your neighbor. No, just kidding. I won't make you do that. So you're like, I'm not. Some husbands got really excited right there. So grace, and then he says, and peace. Now peace, in the Greek, that word is eirene, which is heavenly peace from God. But in the Old Testament and Hebrew, the word for peace, I'm sure a lot of us know, was shalom. As you come and go, there should be the peace of God. So what is Paul saying? I want you to think about it. The love and affection, there's so much more than just grace and peace on the surface. What is he saying? I love you. I embrace you like a kiss, like I want to be close to you, and that there would be peace over your life. Man, I don't know about you, but I want that for me. Anybody else with me on that one? Come on, somebody. Yes. So this is what he says, verse 4. Jesus gave his life for our sins, just as God our Father planned in order to rescue us from this evil world in which we live. All glory to God forever and ever. Amen. Now, if we were to stop right there, wouldn't you be feeling really good? Like, it's kind of like the beginning of a movie when things are going so well and you're wondering, is there a cliff at some point? Well, don't worry. There's a cliff coming. So here's what Paul says. I am shocked. I'm astounded. I cannot believe after all that I've done, all that I've preached, all that I poured out to you. He says this, I am shocked that you are turning away so soon from God who called you to himself through the loving mercy of Christ. He's absolutely shocked by their behavior. In other words, and I know many of us can relate to this, have you ever had these high moments with God? We're like, Lord, I love you. I'll go all the way. I'm not going to ever sin or do anything like this. And then Monday comes. And that's essentially what's happening. They had forgotten what Jesus has done. I love what Pastor Mael said, is that we live in a culture that's trying to forget their past. But we serve a God who says, remember what Jesus has done. Because what does it say? What is that verse? It talks about loving mercy. You may not like get grace and mercy confused. They're two different things. Grace is the unmerited favor, so it's this giving of grace. Mercy is withholding that which you deserved. So in case you think like you're perfect and you haven't done anything wrong, I want to just break this to you. We've all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every single person deserves the justice of God, the punishment for our sins because of what we have done. But this is what Paul's saying. Remember what Jesus has done by his mercy. By what he has done, he has saved you. That's where your freedom comes from. He paid the penalty for your sins. You should be locked, dead, done, toast, completely destroyed, but Jesus took it for you. That's where your freedom is. It's not based on your works, but it's based on the mercy of Jesus Christ. And then we'll keep going, otherwise I'll get too excited. You are following a different way that pretends to be the good news. It's a facade. It's a counterfeit. They're following something different. But it is not the good news at all. You are being fooled by those who deliberately twist the truth concerning Christ. Let God's curse fall on anyone. Did you just hear that? Have you ever heard someone say, God doesn't curse anything? I've actually heard that. And I want you to know that's not true. Sorry. The Bible says it. We believe it. God, and I'm gonna pour this. I'm going to explain what this means here in a moment. But it's so important we stop there, because oftentimes we can go through church and miss the severity of what Paul is really talking about. That if you believe a different gospel than the one that's been proclaimed, that Jesus Christ is the Savior, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, that he is our Messiah, our Lord, our one true King, and he's coming back for his bride. If you believe anything different, or check this out, and you're going to say this, and you add on to it, you put yourself under a curse. That's pretty harsh, wouldn't you say? But we'll keep going. Paul, and the reason he does that, I'll explain that in just a moment. Let God's curse fall on anyone, including us, or even an angel from heaven who preaches a different kind of good news. The good news, that's the gospel. than the one we preach to you. I say again what we have said before. If anyone preaches any other good news than the one you welcome, let that person be accursed. He doubles down. And then I love this last verse. He says, obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, this part is so convicting, I would not be Christ's servant. As a pastor, that is a challenge, because to be honest with you, my heart and goal, I love people, and my hope is all of you love me. But the Bible warns me, if I speak the truth and the gospel, that the people will actually hate the gospel and hate me. And if I go for the approval of people, guess what's happening? What does it just say? I would not be Christ's servant. So part of my role, and here's what I want you to know, part of your role is to be a light, to shine the light of the gospel by the way that you live, who you are, the testimony, because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You are free. And guess what? People want to be free. They're just looking for it in the wrong places. And so my prayer for every single person in this room that's listening to this, that as we dive into the scripture, you would understand that Christ's freedom for you is meant to keep you free. It's meant to keep you free indeed. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Would you pray with me? Lord, I thank you for your word. May it come alive and active. May it penetrate our hearts. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be free, I pray, and to stay free because you've set us free. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Something that our family and maybe your family does on a regular basis, just like we do, is we go to places like McDonald's, Dairy Queen, Salt and Straw. I know I'm making you hungry. I know what time it is. You know, these ice cream, Cold Stone, we love those things. And the reason is our family will confess we enjoy ice cream. Can I get a witness? Is there anybody that enjoys ice cream? Okay, we got some applause for that. All right, all right. By the way, the diet starts tomorrow. Just kidding. But my son Tate has a very specific way that he eats his ice cream, not just a mustache. But as you'll notice, Tate only will have vanilla ice cream. Amen. Nothing else. But then even more particularly, if you look at the picture a little closer, you'll see the one with my wife and his grandma and Titus. You'll notice that the ice cream's gone. No, he did not drop it. He always gets his ice cream in a cone, but he refuses to eat the cone. Doesn't matter if it's sugar or waffle. He'll even ask for a spoon, scoop the ice cream out of the cone, and then he'll chuck the cone at me or throw it in the garbage. And here is why. I have tried this before. If you dare put one piece of chocolate, whipped cream, cherry, anything at all on Tate's ice cream, you are in trouble. You may not make it out of that store alive. He will throw down. This is exactly what the Apostle Paul is saying about the gospel. Now, Tate is just as passionate about the Apostle Paul as I promise you that. Here's what the Apostle Paul is saying. If you do anything to the gospel, if you distort it, if you add to it, if you change it, it has become no gospel at all, and it is powerless to set you free. But, and this is the big idea, I hope you're taking notes, you should have your papers out. If you don't, you have the YouVersion app, you can look at it. The gospel, nothing more and nothing less, has the power to set you free. I'm going to say that again. The gospel, nothing more and nothing less, has the power to set you free. This is so important because we live in a culture that loves this fancy word, but it's pretty practical. You can see it, syncretism. And what that is they pull different religions all the time, different belief systems, and they think that they're free, but what they don't realize is they're bound. They're bound because they're no longer pure in what Jesus called them to live it out. I was listening to a pastor, his name's Chuck Smith, and he was talking about his friend named Jerry, who used to be a Christian that converted to Mormonism. And he was very disturbed and upset, so he kind of met with him and talked to him, and he said, "Hey, why did you leave the Christian faith?" You know, and as they're talking, he started explaining to him that when he went to Mormonism, that he knew that his way to heaven was incomplete in the Christian church. And this is what he believes, that eternal life is found in, number one, faith in Jesus Christ. And Chuck Smith, you know, the way he tells the story, he's like, I was with him at that point until he said, "And." The moment you say "and," you've lost the gospel. And here's what he says, "And continued membership in the Mormon church." Do you see what happens in culture? Do you see what happens in other cults and false religions? They start taking, and this is what exactly Satan does, they take the truth and pervert it into something completely different. Because the moment you put an "and" onto what Jesus has done, it is no longer the gospel. And this is what Paul is so passionate about. This is what Paul, and this is the first point that I want you to write down if you have your notes, your fill-ins. Number one, the purity of the gospel is worth fighting for. There are a lot of things that people fight for today, and unfortunately, I don't think they're as important as the gospel. But when pressed, do Christians have an answer? Is it Jesus that saved you? Or was it your yoga breathing? You see, the truth is you and I have to take some things a little bit more seriously, and here's why. Unless Jesus returns, which I'm believing he's going to any day, come on somebody, the return of Christ is soon. And unless he comes, until he tarries, one day I'm going to die. One day you're going to die, but your soul will live forever. And the Bible teaches us that your soul will live somewhere forever. And it's based on your response to the finished work of Christ. That's the good news. Nothing more, nothing less. That's the purity of the gospel. The problem is Satan tries to distort the gospel so that Christians spend most of their time fighting about things that don't really matter. So if he can't get you out of hell, he's just going to get you powerless and not dangerous. And so what ends up happening is Christians start fighting and killing each other. And I want to encourage you, there are things that we fight for. There are things that we die for. And in fact, when we were at the last annual business meeting, I broke down there's really a helpful grid. You see, in life and in church and in ministry, you'll have things that you decide for. Like, what are you going to wear to church today? You decided that today. Congratulations. I'm glad you wore your clothes. Congratulations. Very good. Everybody came in their right mind. You're looking. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You look good." Some of you are like, "I don't know. Shouldn't have worn that shirt today." Those are things you decide for. But then there'll be times when we'll talk about discussions and we might even debate over it. And that's great. But then sometimes people will say things that you literally cannot follow. That's what you divide over. But then there comes something, what Paul's talking about here. These are things that you will die for. And I just want to encourage you really quickly, church, as lovingly as I can, we die for Christ. Do you know what Paul said? He said, "For me to live as Christ is to die as gain." In other words, there should be a level of us that it's really not about me. Am I right? It's really about Jesus and what he's done and helping as many people as I can know the gospel and the purity of the gospel. That's why Paul stands up and fights for it. That's why we fight for the gospel. It's worth fighting for. In Germany, many years ago, there used to be a group called the KJB, and they were in charge of destroying Christians and Jews in the underground church, especially for the Christians. And one night, there was a group of underground Christians in a small room when the door suddenly flung open, and there was a guy with a gun, and he had his military thing, and it says KJB, and he was getting ready to kill every single one of them. He walks in, sticks a gun, and says, "If you leave right now and renounce Christ, you can live." One person gets out and runs away. He shuts the door, comes back in. "If you renounce Christ and walk away, you can live." Another person goes. Another person goes. He comes back, and he holds a gun at the group of people left, and he says, "If you renounce Christ, then you can walk away and live." Nobody moved. As he pulled the gun, getting ready to pull the trigger, he suddenly stopped, put the gun down, took the badge off, and said, "Okay, now we can have church." What's worth fighting for? What's worth dying for? Do you know, and as funny as that story is, you're like, should I laugh or not? It's okay, it's funny. But it is a true story. And I want you to hear this. The Bible warns us in Revelation that there will be a great falling away. My question for you is, have you surrendered your life so much so to Christ that he is worth dying for? It's only at that point where true freedom really exists. Because I believe when you come to the conclusion, just like Paul, check this out, when I fully surrender to him, I am truly free indeed. But I want to warn you, this is point number two. There is no freedom when the gospel gets distorted. There's absolutely no freedom when the gospel gets distorted. And Paul was so offended, so willing to fight over this. His words are so strong in Galatians 1:8. He says this, "Let God's curse," I told you I'd come back to this, "let God's curse fall on anyone, including us or even an angel from heaven who preached a different kind of good news than the one we preach to you." What we have to realize is there's a judgmental curse on anybody who twists the gospel. And what's that curse? I'm going to explain that to you right now. The Greek word for curse is anathema. Say anathema. It's putting someone under God's judgment. And here's why it's a curse. Because if you believe a lie as if it was truth, there is no light for you. You've become deceived. And you're following the wrong message. And you end up walking in a way that you think you see, but you're actually lost. And my prayer for every single person is that they would not listen to this message and walk away thinking, "Man, I'm glad, yeah, I believe Jesus as my Lord and Savior," and kind of not carefully think about this, because here's what happens. Oftentimes, we are bound by our behaviors because we start believing that our righteous deeds make our righteousness with God better. That's the "and" we have to watch out for. It's that our works, but I'm sorry, the Bible teaches us that it's by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone that sets you free. There's this man named Martin Luther. You probably heard of him. He was a monk that started the Protestant Reformation. He was so broken and hurt by his sin. He was so upset, so destroyed by his bad and broken nature. By the way, anybody here have a broken and hurtful nature? I know I was. I was born with somebody that, like if they said, "Don't walk on the grass," I stomped on the grass. Anybody with me? If there was a sign that said, "Don't touch," right? The truth is we all have a sinful nature. All of us do. And the problem that we all have is, how do we get clean? How do we change? So here's what Martin Luther, he's so upset, and so he decides to go to Rome and climb the steps, and instead of using his feet, he crawls on his knees, and they begin to bleed, and he's in so much pain, and he's asking God to forgive him, the wretched man that he is, all the sin, all the lies that he's ever told. He's thinking about it over and over as he's going up these steps. And as he crumbles to the ground in pain and agony, he hears a voice from the Holy Spirit come down and says, "Martin, don't you know it's by faith alone that you're saved?" And he said the Holy Spirit hit him right in the heart and changed him forever. And from that moment on, he went and he penned his thesis and he began to preach this gospel. And suddenly revival took shape and people finally stopped trying to earn their approval from God, because Jesus already came and died for them. He died for you and for me. And what ended up happening, Martin Luther, he changed because he went from trying to do all these laws where it was outside in to love. You see, we transform when we move from law to love. The reason that I don't cheat on Mael, not just because she'd kill me, but it's because I love her. Are we perfect? Absolutely not. Have you seen me? No, not perfect. I make mistakes. Mael could tell you. I make lots of mistakes. But here's what you have to know. Because my heart has been transformed in the inside that I love this woman, I will not do anything to break that. I will not cheat. I will not look at other women. I have made my eyes completely for her. That's you, babe. When I wake up in the morning, she may have a list for me, but the list is never, "Do not cheat, Nate. Do not do this. Do not do this." It's none of that. It might be, "Will you please get the garbage?" That's a different list. But she doesn't have a list. And here's what I'm trying to say. Oftentimes people try to prove their worth to God by saying, "Look what all I did for you, God. I went to church 4 times this month. I tithed. I did this. I did this. Where's my blessing? Where's my blessing? Where's my blessing?" And the problem with that is you are trying to kill cancer with a Band-Aid. You're not going to the heart. What really transforms you and mine's behavior is a love relationship with God. And the moment my life really changed, I had to face my brokenness, my pain. My dad woke me up in the middle, or I'm sorry, it felt like middle of the night. It was like 5 a.m. And we read the Bible together and we encountered the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. And my love for God changed. It became about loving God, not about doing everything right. My question for you is, have you received the gospel in your heart? Outside in doesn't work, but inside out, absolutely. When was the last time you considered that he's the only one that you really need? You see, number 3, Jesus provides all the approval you need. I could have the worship team come up. There are people that, and I'll be honest with you, myself included, there are times when I preach a message or I behave or I do something, and you know what I'm hoping? Would you guys please clap for me? Just kidding, don't do that. I'm just kidding. No, I'm serious. You guys are so kind. Why? But I say that on purpose. Here's why. Am I preaching the word for God, audience of one? Or am I looking for the approval of man? God has already approved you and me. How do I know that's true? He sent his son to die for you and me. Verse 10 says this, "Obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant." Who are you trying to please? Where are you finding your identity? Jesus says, "You're my son and you're my daughter, and I love you." But the truth is, a lot of people are not experiencing true freedom found in Christ because the gospel has been distorted in them. And they start believing lies about themselves. They get labeled. Sometimes we put labels on ourselves, or sometimes people put labels on us. And I want you to know, Jesus already gave you your label. You're a son or a daughter of the King if you're in Christ. During World War II, there was a fierce battle, and many of the soldiers were getting killed and wounded and hurt. And so they set up this triage tent where they would pull these soldiers back in, and they would put them on cots and just line them up and line them up. And as soon as they could, they would try and load them and put them on an airplane and get them to the hospital and get them the medical attention they really needed. So this time they're pulling in, and this man named Lou, he was out on the battle. And unfortunately, his right leg was blown off. And he's laying there bleeding out, about to die, and somebody rescues him and tourniquets him, and they haul him back to the tents and they put him down on a cot in the line of a bunch of people that have all been wounded. And when you go into this tent, what you have to understand is that if they think you're going to live, you're going to make it, they put a white tag at the base of your bed. And that white tag, man, as soon as the plane's ready, you get to be the first one to leave and go to the hospital. The second group of people was a blue tag. And the blue tag meant that you may make it, you may not make it, but you don't get to go first. You get to go after all the white tags go. But the worst tag was a red tag. The red tag meant that you were going to die. In other words, they brought you in, but you're not going to make it. There's no possible chance for you to live. So when Lou was brought in, he got a red tag. As he's laying there about to die, a nurse who was a follower of Jesus walked by and saw this tag and looked at him and thought, no person should die alone. His eyes were still open. So she walked up to him and sat real close to him and said, what's your name? He said, my name's Lou. And she started asking him, tell me about your family, where you're from. And she just says, I'm gonna sit there and wait for him to die. I didn't think it'd be very long. 5 minutes goes by. He's still talking. 10 minutes goes by. He's still talking. 15 minutes goes by. And the Holy Spirit speaks to this nurse and says, switch his tag. And she begins to panic. She goes, I can't do that. Only doctors can do that. But the Holy Spirit says, you need to switch his tag. So she stands up and kind of looks around, no doctors looking. She runs over and grabs a white tag and switches it out. Turns around and goes back to her station. And not 30 seconds later, a doctor is running by and looks and yells, there's a white tag, there's a white tag, somebody get this guy. So they grab him and take him up and fly him out and get him to a hospital. And this nurse begins to write the hospital asking about a man named Lou that was sent out. She gets word 2 weeks later that Lou lived. He made it. Did you know that Jesus switched the tag for you? In your sin, in your brokenness, in your shame, in your losses. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Jesus switched your tag. That's the message of the gospel. That's the good news. Don't distort it. Don't add to it. Receive the gospel this morning. Jesus switched your tag, and he switched my tag as well. With every head bowed and eyes closed just for a moment, this morning we already had two people receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and I believe there's more here this morning. If you're here today and you're ready to receive the gospel, the pure form of the gospel, that Jesus died for you, he loves you, and he rose from the grave so that you can have a brand new life. If that's you this morning, with Christians praying in this room and believing, if you're here today and you're ready to have your tag switched to go from death to life, today is the day for salvation. Don't wait another moment. Don't wait another hour. Today is your day to receive the gospel. I believe the Holy Spirit's stirring in your heart right now. Some of you are weighing, do I raise my hand or not? I'm telling you, it's the best decision of your life. Today is your day. If that's you and you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, would you slip up your hand right where you are? I want to pray for you. Thank you. I see that hand. That's awesome. Anybody else? There's more. Thank you. I see that hand. That's awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Is there anybody else? I want to give everyone a chance. That's awesome. Thank you, Jesus. You can put your hands down. And church, would everyone repeat this prayer with me? Say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I surrender my life to you. I'm going to follow you all the days of my life. I love you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for switching the tag in my life. I give my whole heart to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, let's rejoice for those that raised their hand. Thank you, Jesus. I want to invite everyone to stand for a moment. We're going to get ready to close. If you can stand, we're going to respond with one song. Before we do, I want to ask you a question. Are you believing a lie about yourself? Have you put a tag on your life that does not belong there? Some of you have put the tag of addiction. That's what Jesus came to set you free for. Some of you have put the tag that you are always going to be an adulterer. That is not your story any longer. Christ has set you free. Some of you here believe that you will always be sick, that you will always be lost, that you will always be an orphan. That is not the tag that Jesus puts on your life today. You are a son and daughter of the King. Amen? But some of us have lived in that lie and that shame for so long that it's so hard to believe that that tag has been switched, and you need prayer this morning that God would switch that tag. If that's you this morning, a simple response would just raise your hand and say, Pastor, I want prayer that I would believe that I am a son or daughter of the King, that I am free. If that's you, shoot your hand up high that you want to switch the tag this morning. Come on, we got hands going up. Anybody else, you want a new tag this morning? Come on, you're a son or daughter of the King. You're free. Let's clap for them to have their hands up. Thank you, Jesus. You can put your hand down. The last fill-in for all the note takers, first service, they had people coming to me. You didn't do the last one. The last fill-in is this. What is the Holy Spirit asking you to do? How does he want you to respond? Is it come up? We have prayer partners that are going to be up there in just a moment. How is the Holy Spirit asking you to respond? Is it a new tag? Is there somebody you know that needs Jesus? So would you close your eyes and lift your hands and ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, how do you want me to respond?
Hello, my name is Pastor John, and I'm the online campus pastor here at Portland Christian Center. I wanted to first of all thank you for listening to this message. And our prayer is that what you heard today has inspired something within you on your journey to discover more of who God is. I do want to give one more opportunity to accept Christ. So if you're listening today and want to make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, then please pray this with me. Lord Jesus, for too long I've kept you out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. I am ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead on the third day. Thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior. Amen. If you prayed that prayer to accept Christ, congratulations. We at Portland Christian Center call that decision your best yes. And we are here to help you walk forward in your faith journey. So whether you receive Christ today or are curious more about Portland Christian Center and what's happening here, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. That's pcctoday.com.